For the very first time this NFL season, not only did the Raiders win, but I actually won in picks. So week five has been my favorite week so far of the NFL season. There we go. The streak is over.
Man. Huge fan. Can we swap jerseys after?
No, I'm keeping today? Mine. No, I don't want yours.
Huge fan of yours. Hey, you're not allowed to accept that Raiders victory. You're the biggest non-Raiders fan, Raiders fan.
Oh, my gosh. I want Kevin O'Connell to start. Why is Jimmy G winning games for us? Oh.
I think Kevin O'Connell can stay on the Minnesota Vikings as a coach.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's his name? Aiden.
Aiden O'Connell would be
no relation, right?
I don't think so. Not that I'm aware.
Wait. You're telling me you would take Kevin O'Connell in a second on the Raiders?
I think Kevin O'Connell's better looking than Jimmy G.
Ooh, he's a good looking man. He's only 38.
I know, he's really young. How old is Sean McVay?
Oh, another good looking man in the NFL.
Is he? He can't be younger than Sean McVay, right?
No, he is. No, I think he is.
Oh, no, McVay's 37.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How old's LaFleur's got to be, like 40, early 40s with like Salah's the same?
The only other, I'll look it up. The only other guy who I could think of that would be younger would be like Mike McDaniels.
No, the Arizona coach.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's super young.
LaFleur is 43. LaFleur is 43.
Man, a lineup, you got O'Connell, LaFleur, McVay. I put Salah in there too.
That's the all smolder team right there.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, these are some good looking men.
I know.
I'd follow these men into battle.
Right, exactly. Exactly. All right, enough oogling over men. Let's oogle over some teams. I will say I was not shocked with the way that the media started, you know, the reaction from week five, because I had an expectation that coming on to Monday morning, that the very first word that I was going to hear on any sports station that I turned on was going to start with the word C, and that was going to be Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the 49ers because I know, like, obviously the Cowboys are, you know, the biggest team in the NFL. But I don't think necessarily to me that they're the story here. I think the 49ers are the story. That game, the performance that they put on was one of the biggest surprises, I think, so far of the NFL season. Not because of how good San Francisco is, but how bad they made Dallas look. Dallas only ran 7 plays in 49er territory the entire game. That was a beatdown from start to finish. And I'm just going to give you the floor to gloat about your team right now, because I think they're by far and away the best team in the NFL.
No, you know what? We're not front runners here on this show, on the Nothing to Say Fans podcast. I'm not a fair weather.
Fan. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Kevin O'Connell, man. but the Niners looked great, dude. I think they've, and I hate the sentiment now that's coming out. Oh my gosh, like Brock Purdy, he's only doing this because look at the roster around him. Oh, the Niners, the only thing that can stop the Niners is injury. First off, the second one, right? Tell me which team, if you were to take out their two best players from injury, is going to have success.
I don't know.
None of them. Right? And then we got, oh my God, like how many games are George Kittle, Debo, and Christian McCaffrey going to be healthy for? Well, you know what? They're healthy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I mean, knock on wood, but you could say that about literally any team. If you go to the Chiefs, Kelsey, Mahomes, Chris Jones. Oh, man. I mean, Kelsey's having nagging injuries. Chris Jones missed some time already this year. If they don't have – if they're missing two of those three, the Chiefs aren't the same. You could go to any team and make that same case. Football is a violent sport, and guys get injured. I think the fact that the Niners are bringing physicality to these teams, they might be a little bit more prone to injury. But for right now, these guys, we can't factor in injuries as this thing of, oh, we need a plan that this team is going to somehow get injured. Yes, I think that's so flawed.
The injury argument is a little bit lazy. If you're trying to dock a team, just stating that, well, they have to stay healthy is probably the most obvious thing that you could say from the standpoint of that applies to every team. Now, you say it about the 49ers because quite a few of their players have a history of injury. But, I mean,
but how does,
again, that argument. Down. Yeah, I don't even know if necessarily – that's not even something that necessarily you should hold against them per se because, I mean – I think the perfect example of why you shouldn't hold that against them is because they've gone through, I mean, they've had seasons where they've, I mean, when Brock Purdy started, that was a perfect example of them not having their main guy in place and still making it work. Like if there's any team, it's, I feel like if you're going to make that argument, then how am I going to say this? If you use the argument that the only thing that can hurt the 49ers is injury, then I feel like, conversely, I'm losing my train of thought. I had the perfect way to phrase this. The injury argument is lazy, first of all, like I said, but oh, I'm losing it, dude. I had such a good point for you. I had such a good point. Come back to me, teacher. Come back to me. I had a point for you.
Jason, we'll give you another shot later.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Niners have a higher risk? The 49ers players, do you think they have a higher risk or like they're more susceptible to getting injured than any other team in the NFL?
Well, I've heard a couple people this year say that about Debo because whenever he catches the ball, it does seem like he wants to run through somebody as opposed to, and George Kittle's the same way. Christian McCaffrey is never going to shy away from trying to run somebody over. Although no, he's running
into dudes.
Yeah. So
there was a play. There was a play. Who knocked him? It was like Curse. Yeah, Curse. I think hit him as soon as he was catching the ball, helmet to helmet. He stayed in the game for the next four plays.
Oh yes, I do remember like, that.
Can we sub out McCaffrey, please? And they ran him the next four plays. And I'm like, can we limit like?
Yes,
I thought the storyline going into this year was like we're gonna minimize the amount of hits that McCaffrey is gonna take. It hasn't looked like it, and he hasn't. I mean, knock on wood, still, but the whole time that he's been in San Francisco, he's been one of the most durable backs in the NFL.
Yes, and here was the point that I failed to make 2 minutes ago.
Oh, you got it?
Yes, I brought it back. The injury argument for the 49ers applies from the standpoint of, yes, they have a bunch of players who in past seasons have gotten injured. But it also doesn't apply to them because I think more than any other team in the league, they've been able to show that they can work around an injury, whether or not it's their quarterback getting hurt or their just revolving door of running backs that keep coming through there. Now, they've landed on Christian McCaffrey, so it's not necessarily a revolving door anymore. But I don't think in one breath you can make the argument that, well, the only thing that's going to hold the 49ers back is injury, when they've proven that when they get injured, they can still find a way to make it work. So I don't even necessarily think that argument is a good one to make for the 49ers.
Yeah, I don't. And especially because they are the deepest team in the NFL. The Eagles are there, sure. But the amount of star power that San Francisco has on both sides at every position is absolutely nuts.
Yes.
Especially with the way Brock Purdy is playing. And if you're going to sit there and criticize how he's playing, oh my gosh, he's not asked to throw the ball close to 50 times a game. Well, you know what? This dude is that perfect. Jimmy G, I give him all the credit in the world. He played phenomenal for the Niners within this system. But Brock Purdy is making every single throw. He is acing every single test, and he's not putting the ball in harm's way like what Jimmy was doing. He's throwing, he's doing all the same throws, all the same things, throwing it in the middle of the field, but he's not putting the ball in harm's way.
Okay, so I'm glad you made your way to Purdy, because I want to do an exercise with you real quick. Because I was going to ask you where realistically you think he ranks in the NFL or the NFC specifically. So I have a list right now of who is the starting quarterback for each NFL team. So NFC, AFC. Let's just go through the NFC real quick. I just want a simple yes or no answer on whether or not you think Brock Purdy is better than X quarterback. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. Sam Howell.
Brock Purdy's better.
Okay. Yes or no? Follow the instructions.
But that doesn't. But that, no, no. You're just saying. Not, I feel like no should be that quarterback isn't better than Purdy. Like the okay. question is this quarterback better than Brock Purdy? I think that's more. That's like more straightforward.
Fair enough.
Question.
Baker okay. Mayfield.
No.
Geno Smith.
No.
Okay. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one. Daniel Jones?
No.
Okay, Derek Carr?
You wish. No.
Okay, Kirk Cousins?
He's playing well. No.
Matthew Stafford? I think you have to give Stafford that one, right?
I mean, I would say that Purdy is playing better than him. This year, because Stafford's still giving you those mistakes, but I think he's asked to do a little more, and he's been better in his career. So I'd say, yeah.
Okay. Jordan Love.
No.
Jared Goff.
I'd say yes.
Yes, I agree. Dak Prescott.
No.
Okay. Justin Fields.
No.
Okay, and then I think we're going to take Bryce Young, Josh Dobbs, Desmond Ridder, Wolf. So you're saying – so there are only three quarterbacks in the NFC right now who you'd put ahead of Brock Purdy.
I mean, that just shows that the NFC is completely lacking in quarterback star power.
But even so, like, let me just give you some names from the AFC. Not everyone, like, I think we can rule out some of the obvious ones from the AFC. But if I, but like Lamar, no. I mean, Lamar, yes, he's better. Josh, yes. Joe Burrow, yes. What about Deshaun Watson?
But this is the question. Brock Purdy has played better than Joe Burrow this year.
This year, yes.
So is the question who's having the better season or who is the better quarterback?
No, just who is the better quarterback. And okay. I think, yeah, so Joe Burrow, obviously, Deshaun Watson.
No.
Russell Wilson, certainly not right now, no. C.J. Stroud, I don't know.
Ooh, actually, tough one. Yeah, I'd say no. Right now for CJ Stroud, because we have a little bigger sample size for Purdy.
Yeah. Anthony Richardson, no. Trevor Lawrence, maybe. Yes. I think you'd give it to him. No?
I wouldn't.
Okay. So Patrick Mahomes, yes. Jimmy G, no. Justin Herbert, yes. Tua Tagovailoa, yes. Mac Jones, no. Zach Wilson, no. Kenny Pickett, no. Ryan Tannehill, no. So I mean, you're talking about, you know, Brock Purdy being like a top 10 quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and
is that fair?
Because I think if we were going off of their careers in totality, I think you'd have to put like Cousins ahead of them, maybe even Derek Carr ahead of them. Like when you start expanding it to these guys that have been doing it for longer, I think you would have to put some guys ahead of him. But if you're just going based off of who I want this season,
mm-hmm.
I think he beats out a couple. I think, oh man, what he's doing, there's a couple guys there that you're like, you think would be slam dunks. Like Joe Burrow, I think, is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy is playing way 100 times better than Joe Burrow has played this season.
Well, to put numbers to that, I mean, Brock Purdy, he's thrown for 1,271 yards, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and has a 123 rating on the season right now. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Yeah, what more do you want him to do?
I mean, he's thrown a touchdown in every single game except the Rams game. He's had multiple two-touchdown games, and he had four against the Cowboys. He's never had a game so far this season where he hasn't had a rating less than 90, and he has no picks.
Yep.
Like, he's playing perfect right now.
Yeah, and I think even – how many times has he been sacked? Like, he's not even running into pressure. His elusiveness within the pocket, I think, is really underrated. The biggest knock for him, I think, is his size. Like, he's only 6'1". He gets more than average than the average quarterback. I think he gets a lot of balls batted down because of his size. But I mean, he's incredibly lucky that Shanahan has that ability to put him in the perfect situation. I don't get how you not. So let me. Did you hear the Dan Orlovsky take?
I did. Today? I did. I listened to it on Get Up. Yeah.
Yeah, Mac Jones would be doing what Brock Purdy is doing. I think that's absolutely crazy.
I think Kittle slammed Orlovsky for it, right? Didn't he respond?
Yep.
I didn't see what Kittle said, but
I think he just said, like, that's disrespectful to Brock Purdy, which you love a guy standing up for his quarterback, but man, I think even if you were to, like, simply trade them, Brock Purdy would be playing a million times better in New England than what Mac is doing.
I don't know if anybody can play well in New England right now, but
but there's a lot of mistakes. So I think I heard the stat that Mac Jones has thrown for four pick sixes already, and that's the same amount that Tom Brady threw in his entire career with.
I think that was like at Gillette Stadium or something like that. I do remember seeing something very similar
right? along so those lines. Yeah. That's a lot of like not being able to read a defense and then throwing it into heavy coverage and getting that ball picked.
I'm trying to find there's a sports page that I really, really like. They have some really interesting stats. And there was one about Brock Purdy. I'll have to try to find it real quick.
So one more thing I want to touch on with Purdy. So he's top 10 in MVP
odds. Yes. And I think that's fair, honestly, right now, especially given the numbers that I just gave you.
I mean, I would argue he shouldn't be above McCaffrey. If there is a Niner that's going to win MVP, it should be Christian McCaffrey.
So trying to figure out how to phrase this question. So do you think that's because he is playing better at his respective position than Purdy, or because he's just more valuable to the team? Because I think those can be two separate things.
No, they definitely are. They're definitely two separate, because each position has different value to a team. But I think
so you're saying both.
What McCaffrey is to the Niners, I think, is the most valuable player to any team.
Okay.
Even with all the studs that they have, it's all built off of the groundwork that Christian McCaffrey is the biggest threat.
I mean,
and that's not to diminish what Purdy is doing. Because Purdy helps out McCaffrey too. I mean, there's like they all build off of one of those things, but I think there's like a psychological aspect that when you have Christian McCaffrey back there, there's almost that confidence in this edge that the Niners play with.
He's absolutely incredible. Like every week he makes a play where you just kind of sit back and you go, I don't know anybody else who could do that. And of course, there are other running backs in the league who could, but he just seems to be the guy who does it every week. And whether or not that's a scheme thing or a talent thing, I'm not sure, but he's crazy. He's just crazy. I'm looking, so I've got his, I'm looking at his numbers right here. At least I've got his rushing numbers. He's already eclipsed 500 yards. This season's got 7 touchdowns. I'm looking at his receiving yards. However, I don't know. This feels low to me. I'm on ESPN right now. I'm looking at the stats. This feels a little bit low from a receiving standpoint. It says that he has 20 receptions and only for 168 yards. I feel like that's got to be low, right?
No,
I mean, it says 5 games. It says 5 games, but I feel like
he hasn't really. They haven't really needed to check down to McCaffrey a lot.
I was going to say, you're watching them much more than I am, but I'm actually truthfully surprised that that is as low as it is, because I feel like they screen out to him at least 2 or 3 times a game.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm actually surprised that that is as low, but either way, I mean, he's eclipsed. I mean, he's hanging out at right around 700 total yards this season, receiving and rushing, and you know, he's well on pace to be at like 2,000 yards.
Total. Oh, well, rushing.
In terms of, I was talking about scrimmage yards in totality, but he's done that before. That's not something that's foreign to him. 2019, he did that. So I have, to stay on the 49ers, but kind of bounce out just a little bit, I have ESPN's power rankings right now.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read them to you. And the 49ers, spoiler, are number one. But here you go. Here's the power rankings. At number 10, you have Jacksonville. They moved up. They were previously at 13 on ESPN's board. Tampa Bay, they have at 9,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty interesting. Baltimore's below Tampa Bay. The Chargers are below Tampa Bay. So mm-hmm. at number 8, you have Seattle. 7, you have Dallas. 6, you have Buffalo, all the way down at 6. Detroit, you have at 5, Miami 4, Kansas City 3, Philly 2, 49ers 1. Any gripes?
Well, it's interesting that there's a couple of those teams, Seahawks and Tampa Bay, that had byes this last week, and they seemingly move up into the top 10. I mean, there's a lot of teams that, like, Baltimore's included in this.
Baltimore's at 11.
Well, it's just like there's a lot of teams that the opportunity's there and they haven't been able to grasp it. Like I could sit here and say, I don't think Jacksonville's really a top 10 team so far, but they're one game ahead of the Texans, and I really like the Texans. So it's like, well, Jacksonville's, you got to give them that respect there. I mean, that Baltimore Steelers game was, both of those teams looked awful. That game was no favors for either of those teams. I will say that loss isn't as bad for Baltimore because they had, I think, 2 touchdowns that were dropped. They hit the Nelson Aguilar drop, which was a deep bomb, and then Rashad Bateman had that awful drop pretty early in the game. But, Tampa Bay, Seattle.
Yeah, Tampa being that high is a little – that one feels a little weird to me. To ESPN, to their credit, they had them at 9 last week, so they actually didn't move Tampa. Seattle moved, despite not playing. They were at 10. They moved up. I like mm-hmm. that they bumped Dallas down. I feel like the Bills obviously dropping. That makes sense. I like Detroit being top 5. That feels right to me. Miami is crazy. Kansas City is still Kansas City. Eagles are 5-0, but that 5-0 again doesn't feel nearly as strong as San Francisco's 5-0. But they're still undefeated, so I feel like you have to keep them up there.
Yeah, and you got to give them credit too. They're winning without their best stuff. I think we said this last week, but I think that really shows the will, the leadership of that team, that they're not playing their best consistently through this season, but still finding ways to win.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say right now that Miami is clearly better than Buffalo?
Clearly better than Buffalo? No, I don't think so.
I wouldn't feel comfortable putting Miami ahead of Buffalo.
I know their record would indicate it, but I mean, they have played each other this season, right? And that's
Buffalo smoked them.
They killed them. And I think Buffalo's defense, when they're at their best, is the top 5 defense in the entire league.
Well, it's not going to be like that the rest of the year. They have Tre'Davious White out and Matt Milano out.
Yeah, so that's obviously going to be – they're going to – here's the thing, though. They have a chance over the next 3 games to go on a bit of a winning streak. They play the Giants, Patriots, and Bucks. So those are 3, you'd think, very winnable games for them. They have a tough game against Cincy after that. But then I think I'm looking at it real quick. I just lost the schedule in front of me. I believe they get the Jets after that as well. So they have, and then they play the Eagles and Chiefs and Cowboys. So like they're going to have to get fat on some of these, you know, lesser teams, because they're going to hit a stretch after November 19th where they finish the season. Oh, this is brutal. Here are their six games to close out the season: Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, Patriots, Dolphins. So that Patriots one is the only one in there, but Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, Dolphins to close out your season.
Yeah, that Chargers one won't be too bad, but yeah, that's tough. You're starting the playoffs probably at like week 11.
Yeah, at that point. Yeah, that's a tough way
kind of feeling like it.
Tough way to close out the year. But I agree with you. I don't think I'd feel comfortable putting Miami ahead of Buffalo, especially since we have a head-to-head competition to compare.
Yeah, they beat up on the Giants. I mean, the Giants probably the worst team in the NFL right now.
Damn near, yeah.
Their offense is dreadful, and I think they lost Daniel Jones pretty much the rest of the year, so they got Tyrod Taylor in there.
Mm, yeah. I'm looking at you said their offense was dreadful. I'm looking at some of the numbers for how many.
I think they're still the worst offense.
Yeah, they've scored 62 points. Everybody in the NFC South, none of them have scored over 100 points yet. The Patriots have Ooh. Are worse. They have only scored 55 points this season.
Ooh.
The Patriots are bad. I keep hearing I've heard so many stories today about whether or not this is Bill Belichick's like final year. Like people are starting to call for his head a little bit.
No, you can't fire him.
You can't fire him, and that's the tricky part with Bill, because you know the overwhelming thought process is he's earned the right to sort of, you know, figure to leave on his own terms. But at the same time, his decision making over the past 3 years has been awful, and the team has been awful. So there's a line of, well, you know, maybe we do need to turn the page, but you know, the page that you're trying to turn is Bill Belichick. So it's just, I imagine it's a really tricky situation for ownership right now.
So are we talking about like a book that the next page is kind of stuck together on the other side? It's a little sticky. The pages are a little brown, stained for sure, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know how you do it. You don't want to rip the next page, right? Because you want to.
Well, and truthfully, the thing that's weighing those pages down are six championships. It's hard to get rid of a guy who, I mean, whether or not you want to say he was the main force or main source of those championships, that's up for debate. But he certainly was a massive part of it, and he definitely has earned the right to leave on his own volition. But I don't know, it still is a business at the end of the day, so it's a tough call. So the next thing that I would like to get to, we've reached about 30 minutes into the episode, and I haven't really talked anything about the Raiders beating the Packers on Monday Night Football, barely beating the Packers on Monday Night Football. Do you have any thoughts about that game? Because I know you were watching it. You were watching your boy Jimmy G. Any thoughts about the silver and black?
Yeah, so I think I watched most of the second half. I caught the first half on the radio, and it was Mike Golic and Kevin Harlan. And Golic was making the great point that the Packers have maybe the league's worst run defense, and the Raiders were on back-to-back drives, passing, 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 maybe running. And every time they gave Josh Jacobs the ball, he would go for 5, 8, 11. And then they would go pass, trick play, end arounds, and then the drive would end. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, why are we not just pounding the ball? with why are the Raiders not just pounding the ball with Josh Jacobs? Like, they're going to have success. And I think that was the biggest thing in the second half that really propelled the Raiders to controlling the game and having success on offense. The biggest thing for me, though, I give a lot of credit to that Raiders defense for flustering Jordan Love, making him uncomfortable. I'll give it up to you, man. Max Crosby is a beast. He is a game wrecker.
He's crazy. He is
a guy that impacts not only the passing game with his quarterback hits, his pressures, his sacks, his ability to strip the ball from the quarterback, but also his run defense is elite. Even when they're running away from him, from his side, he's able to pursue, get a tackle for loss, plug up, take double teams, all those things, right? I mean, he is incredible. He's not better than Nick Bosa, so we don't have to go that far, but I'll give him his due.
Yeah, I mean, the world has gotten to see recently within the past couple weeks how good Max Crosby is. It feels like the broadcast on every defensive play, they just could not mention him. It seemed like every single play they were talking about Crosby being over here or being over there or having a tackle for loss, which I believe since he's come into the league, he leads the league in tackles for loss.
Yeah, I think that's what they said.
He's crazy. He's so much fun to watch, and he just never stops. And he's never missed a game, and he very rarely comes out. Like, he just never, ever slows down. It's so much fun to watch. As far as the run stuff that you were talking about, there – I was watching the game at work, and there was a drive where the Raiders, it was like 3rd and 1, and then we decided to do a wide receiver end around that got snuffed out right away. And then we ran a play on 4th down right after that where it was another wide receiver end around. Now, granted, we got it, and my dad made the point that he thought that they were doing that because the Raiders are really fast, and Trey Tucker is extremely fast. But again, the play calling, it's 3rd and 1. And we have Josh Jacobs, the guy who led the league in rushing yards last year. He's not a schmuck. Give him the ball. He'll get 1 yard. He'll get 1 yard 9 times out of 10. To do a wide receiver end around on 3rd and 1 felt so weird. Maybe they were trying to catch him off guard. I don't know. But then to come back and do it again on 4th down, and then, I mean, with Jimmy G, like, he just cannot seem to avoid throwing an interception in each game. He just can't do it for the life of him. I don't understand. And not only can he not avoid doing it, he can't avoid throwing bad interceptions either. Like, they're not excusable interceptions. They're really bad. I know Jordan Love had 3 interceptions last night, and one of them was I mean, I don't know what he was seeing, because the only people around the area that he was throwing, there were 3 Raiders in that area. I did not see where he was going with the ball. But Jimmy had just equally as bad of an interception. Like, it was not good. And then to start the game, I mean, I had sent a text to you guys saying that our most successful play was Jimmy getting sacked on 3rd down. And whether or not that was the offensive line or Jimmy or a combination of both, I don't know. Look, the Raiders they're in a very interesting situation right now, because their next 2 games are the Patriots and the Bears. And Dubs. their defense recently, they've given up 23, 24, and 13. They're not getting destroyed defensively. Like, historically, the Raiders have had a terrible defense. But recently, they've actually been playing fairly well. And they're going up against 2 offenses that stink. And they're going up against, first of all, the worst offense in the league with New England. And then they're going up against the Bears offense, which hasn't been great. Maybe is starting to come a little bit into its own. But I think on paper, the Raiders are better than the Bears. So, like I said, I don't think that the Raiders are good enough to do anything this year. I really don't. But their next 5 games are Patriots, Bears, Lions, that's a tough game, but Giants, Jets. So they have four out of their next five games against teams who, I don't know, they're average. The Raiders are average. Maybe they can string something together. And I think at very best, if you're a Raider fan, you're expecting like an 8-9, or you might be thinking maybe a 9-8 kind of season. Mm-hmm. That's not going to get you into the playoffs, but at least, I don't know. At least as a fan, you know, we can sit back and say, well, this season isn't over like right at the very beginning, which I think a lot of us, I certainly thought that that was going to be the case. So I'm happy that they won, and I'm going to be really interested to see how these next couple games go, because if the defense continues to play this well, then we'll be in a lot of these games, and it's just up to our offense to get their shit together. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why we can't seem to score any points. Our offense is terrible. And for having as good of, like, just if you were looking at just the names on the Raiders offense, like Josh Jacobs, Amir Abdullah is a good running back, Jacoby Myers, Devontae Adams, Meyer, our tight end, Austin Hooper, Hunter Renfrow. Like, they have dudes on offense. They have really good players on offense. And they just can't do anything. They cannot do anything. And I think that honestly has more to do with play calling than anything else.
I agreed. Yeah, I think, I don't know if it is because you're a Raiders fan, and we've talked a lot about the Raiders over the last year and a half now. But I think McDaniels is probably the one that's going to be gone first.
Yeah.
Out of all the coaches. I think it might be Frank Wright. Who knows? That's kind of tough for a guy in his first year, especially when they had the number one pick, to then just be like, all right, we gave you a bad roster and then we're going to punish you for it. But we've seen it before in the NFL. I think it's just my biggest thing when we're talking about dudes and their jobs. If you're an offensive minded head coach and that's the unit that's struggling, then I think you got to be, if you can't take care of your stuff, then you kind of deserve to go. And they kind of seem like they need a new voice in that locker room. And hey, Rich Bisaccia, he could come back. He's just an assistant on the Green Bay. It was really cool to see Bisaccia give Crosby a nice big old hug during the ESPN. And I was like, oh man, what could have been? Raiders fans probably see that. They're like, no, Rich, take that Green Bay Packers stuff off.
Everybody loved him. Black. Everybody loved him.
Got them to the playoffs.
Yes, he did. That was the John Gruden, Henry Ruggs year.
Right. Yeah. So I think, in the same way that it seems like it's really hard to penalize Jimmy G and a lot of these guys. I mean, Adams, he's had a rough couple games back to back, and it's like that guy is easily a top three wide receiver still in the NFL. He should be putting up monster yards. Did they even get him the ball in the second half?
Yeah, but he only had four catches. So, like, yeah, Jacoby, I mean, Myers, has become our best wide receiver right now, at least, or at least Jimmy is making it seem like he's our best wide receiver.
Yeah, I was about to say, Jacoby Myers, when healthy, is having a great year. Renfro's being underutilized. It's like when you're an offensive head coach and you have all these tools, it's not like they're dwarfed in talent. They have talent there. It's like, how are we not getting the most out of these guys? And I think that's really what's got to be called into question.
Yeah, we're in the same boat. Like, we don't necessarily, neither you and I like or enjoy like stating, hey, we think this person should be gone. But I said it last year, as soon as he got there, and it never seemed like it was ever going to work. There was a track record of McDaniels not being good as a head coach. Two, there's a track record of assistants from Bill Belichick going off on their own and not being good head coaches. And then also, when McDaniels comes in and Derek is our quarterback, the type of offense that McDaniels wanted to run. That's just not necessarily what Derek was good at. You could see the writing on the wall that Derek was going to be gone, which you knew was going to piss Devontae off because that's the whole reason he came there in the first place. And it just, it never seemed like it was ever going to work. And when, like I said, when you have that many talented players on offense to just be scoring 13, 17 points a game, I don't know if it's more to do with Jimmy or it's more to do with Josh. But at this point, I'm more inclined to say that it's a McDaniels thing. It's a play calling thing. I don't know. I mean, they're not going to fire him midseason, I don't think. Unless they just completely collapse. They're not going to fire him midseason. So, but yeah. I'd be shocked if he's back next year.
Yeah, I think it just there's the lack of creativity, I think, with what they're doing. And you can I saw Kyle Shanahan the first year when they were 0-4 before Jimmy G came there. But he got the most out of C.J. Beathard and a Nick Mullins and these guys because the play designs were always there.
Yeah.
They might not have had the guy that could perform the throw or get that catch or get that separation, but the play designs were always there. There was always this level of creativity with him that things were really never seen before on this offense. And now he's finally got the pieces to where this offense is running smoothly. But like the Raiders already have those pieces and McDaniels isn't having the capability to really get the most out of them. And like you said, who are we?
Yeah.
Who are we to call for a guy's job? Right. It's not like the Raiders are listening anyway.
No, right.
Right. And right. Who really cares? The only opinion that matters is Mark Davis on that one.
Well, again, like I said, I'd be shocked if he was back next season. The fans, I can tell you the fans definitely don't want him there. So
they might boycott.
Yeah, we'll see. So we're on the topic of offenses real quick. I just wanted to point out that the Dolphins right now have scored 181 points this season, and that's getting a lot of attention. But the 49ers have scored 167 points. They're only 14 points behind the Dolphins. And I feel like all of the attention right now offensively is going to the Dolphins and how crazy they are. But, like, the 49ers, in terms of point total, they're not that far behind. Like, the Dolphins had one 70-point game, and that's what's put them way over the top. But San Francisco, I mean – it's tough to say that they don't have just as good of an offense as Miami. It really – I know that Miami had the one big standout game. But if we're just talking about consistency throughout this whole season so far, I mean, the 49ers have gone 42, 35, 30, 30, and 30. So I think you can make a case that the 49ers have just as good of an offense as the Dolphins because their stats are a little inflated by that one game.
I will say the Dolphins have – I heard this stat. It might have been on ESPN, but they have 7 of the 8 fastest times recorded, like fastest speeds recorded in-game.
Speed kills.
7 of the 8. So, Achan was actually recorded the highest speed in the NFL, and then Tyreek Hill broke it. But it was like – well, you got a guy that's competing with Tyreek Hill for speed.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks that Devon Achan
is hurt,
injured, might be going to the IR with a knee injury. But then again, they have Raheem Mostert, who's more than capable back. And by the way, speedy dude.
I was gonna say he's not slow either.
was a track guy in college and then came to the NFL.
Yeah.
So they'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be good. They'll be good.
But that was you know it's great the Devon Achan, his average yards per game is 150.
I know.
Rushing yards per game.
He just kind of came out of nowhere too.
If he kept that up, what are we talking about?
I mean, you're talking about like Christian McCaffrey level production, honestly.
from a second stringer. Like, he's nowhere close to the amount of attempts.
Right. Yeah, they're loaded. Wow. They're loaded. And their defense has got to – when Jalen Ramsey comes back, that'll be – that's going to make a huge difference for them. All right. Let's get to picks.
Let's get to picks.
I broke my losing streak. We're now 3-1-1.
Do you know what the big game was?
I have the list right here.
Denver, New York. I needed the Broncos to win. And the Jets somehow stuck it out. I was so shocked that the Broncos couldn't put it together. I mean, it was like deep in the fourth quarter and Russell Wilson only had 68 yards passing.
Yeah, you,
like,
you had the Bears
part of the game?
You had the Bears. That game wasn't close. You had the Titans. That game, yeah, that one's tough. Yeah. The Jets Broncos won, the Eagles Rams. I had the Eagles, you had the Rams, and then you had the Bengals and I had the Cardinals. So yeah, it was really, yeah, you're right. It was that Jets game that really swung everything. But thank you, Zach Wilson. And thank you, Breece Hall. Not only for picks, but for my fantasy team, too. So that was nice.
Yeah, I started him in my other league as well. That was good to see.
Yes, it felt good. All righty. Thursday night game. Two teams I absolutely hate. Broncos, Chiefs. What are we doing?
I'm going to take the Chiefs. They're 10.5 point favorites at home on Thursday night.
Crush for some the reason.
Well, no, I would take Denver.
Yeah, I think you should cover. I think that's fairly safe.
Like we said, I think we said this with the London game. Those games are just weird. Like Thursday night games are just bizarre. Weird stuff happens.
Not only that, but it's a divisional game too. So,
but do you think Denver has any fight left in them?
No. Hopefully not.
No.
Hopefully not. By the way, the Sean Payton stuff. Did you hear his comments after the game?
No, I didn't.
Like, not even addressing Nathaniel Hackett by name. Like, he was like, give Saleh and their staff credit for how they played. And then there was a reporter who asked, like, do you regret like the comments that you made? And then he stopped him and he was like, that's a fair question to ask, but I addressed that the day after I said. He didn't even refer to Nathaniel Hackett by name. He just said Saleh and the staff.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's that bad.
Well, you got to listen to it in totality, because I'm not giving it
the fair due.
Exactly. You got to listen to it because he did not handle that well, I don't think. Okay. And we didn't talk obviously about it on this show, but I did not like the way he handled that interview afterward, because it would have been such an easy thing to just say, to just give Hackett credit and just be like, yeah, it wasn't one of my best moments as a coach. So,
or like, yeah,
and just move on.
One. Like, they got this one.
Yeah.
Type of thing. I don't think he's going anywhere, though, with how much he's getting paid.
No, he's not. No, he'll be there.
I think he's got the back end.
Yeah. And I think Wilson would probably be gone before Peyton is.
Yeah, Wilson's not coming back there next year. He should honestly retire.
Retire. Where would he, we can do that exercise another day. I was like, I don't know where he would go. But all right, Ravens Titans. Titans are at home.
Give me the Ravens.
Yeah, I agree. Dolphins, I'll take them at home against the Panthers.
I don't think they can make this spread big enough. It's 13.5.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty safe for Miami.
I think it is too. What about Texans at home versus the Saints?
Oof.
That's a sneaky good game. All right, so who you got, Derek Carr or CJ Stroud?
Give me Houston.
Houston, you're going to have a problem because Derek Carr is going to light you up. Let's go, Saints.
Oh, I'm glad. That game is 1.5. Houston's underdog at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me DC in the Saints. Falcons, Commanders.
Two quarterbacks that played their best games this last week.
Yeah.
I'll
take the Falcons. They're at home. I got them. Give me Desmond Ritter. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are a little – gosh, I don't know. I don't want to take the Commanders. Give me the Falcons.
Jaguars, Colts. Take the Jags at home.
Yeah, give me Jacksonville.
All right, possibly – well, we may have a contender later on down the line of what's the best game of the week is, but Seahawks-Bengals could be the best game of the week.
Yeah, is Cincinnati right? Are we sure that they're – are we convinced after that win against Arizona?
I don't know, but they're honestly not sitting too bad in their division. I mean, they're 2-3. The Ravens didn't run away from them. Nope. The Steelers aren't great, and nope. Neither are the Browns. So, who knows? They could put it together. They have a history of starting slow and then coming on strong. So,
is it weird? I think the media now is – I think the sentiment is that we feel better about Cincinnati – we feel the best about Cincinnati right now in that division.
I know. I did get a little bit of that today on some of the talk shows.
I don't think it's that simple. Yeah, they had a great game against Arizona, but I got to see that more. And I picked them. I said last week that my hot take was they're going to get first in the division. I feel a lot better about it now. But I don't think everything is just kumbaya. Mm-hmm. Now they really got proven. I think this week is big. Give me Cincinnati at home. I think that's safe.
I think I would pick whoever was at home on this game. So if like Seattle was at home, I think I would take them. But since they're on the road, yeah, give me the Bengals. Vikings, Bears. Yeah.
Do we have to pick one?
Give me the Bears. Justin Jefferson's out, so.
Yeah, Bears coming off a win.
Let's go, Jenna. Bears. Woo!
Give me Minnesota. Minnesota is a road favorite, -2.5.
Justin Fields is going to light him up for 500 fantasy points. Let's do it. 49ers, Browns. I'll take the 49ers against any team right now.
Give me the Niners on the road. They're favored by 5.5. Do you think Cleveland covers that?
I think they have a pretty decent – well – is Deshaun? Well, Deshaun is still day to day. So if he's not playing, then no, they're going to beat him by 500 points.
Okay.
They're going to score 70 like the Dolphins did. Raiders, Patriots. I never pick against my team. So
hey, I like the Raiders this week.
All right, let's do it. Playing against the worst offense in the league. Are the Raiders a get-right game or are the Patriots a get-right game? I guess we'll find out.
And the Patriots have given up 30 points back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, so
can we get the Raiders above 20 points?
Please!
Let's get to 21.
Please, I just want to see two touchdowns in a game. Lions, Buccaneers. Give me the Lions on the road.
Best game of the week?
Question mark? Probably. I like the Seattle since he won more, but I could see why you would say that.
I don't know, man. I think it's sneaky. I do not give a lot of credence to what Tampa Bay has done. Give me the Lions. They're only favored by 3.
Well, they are on the road, so.
I get Baker Mayfield's playing better, but.
Playing really well, yeah.
But he's not a top 15 quarterback.
No, and Jared Goff definitely is. So, and the Lions are just crazy good.
Man, they're really good. Someone clip this audio as soon as the Tampa Bay wins. Just clip that and put that there.
Rams, Cardinals.
Give me the Rams.
Yeah. Let's go Rams. The Rams are honestly. They're pretty decent. So Eagles, Cooper Kupp looks good. Yes, he did. That's a pretty nasty 1-2 punch they have there with Nakua and Kupp.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Stafford to decide. Man, Nakua is open. Cup's open, too. Like, who do I throw to?
It's going to be like that old Patrick Mahomes meme. They're like, F it. Tyreek's down there somewhere. It's going to be like, F it. One of them's down there. So we'll just throw
it. Let's run them both on posts, and we'll just throw it right in the middle of the field.
Yep, see who gets it. And then if you're the Dolphins, then you just have to wait 3 seconds for them, for your guys to get up to speed and then just launch it.
Yeah.
Eagles, Jets.
Give me the Eagles.
Yeah. But I think this will be a close game. I don't think the Eagles are going to blow the Jets out.
How close? You think it's within seven?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. Okay. I think the Jets, their defense won them that game last week. Wilson's playing better. They're at home.
Played against the Broncos.
Yeah, well. He also was a stud against the Chiefs, so, you know, we'll see.
And they lost.
But he still played well.
I don't care.
So, Bills Giants. That's a Sunday night game. Wow.
Dude, how many, like, who did the Giants pay? I feel like they've been in the most primetime games this year.
Yeah, they've been in a couple.
They were in the first Sunday night football. They were then on Thursday night. Then they were on Monday night. And now they're on Sunday football again.
Ugh. Bills, Bills by a country mile.
It's going to be, yeah, Bills by more than 14. Yeah, for sure.
I agree. And then the Monday night game is Cowboys Chargers.
Tough game. I think Dallas is better.
I agree. Austin Eckler, 99% chance of return versus Cowboys from ESPN.
So they have 15, they had 15 days of prep for this one game. And Dallas might not have Leighton Vander Esch.
Yeah, and Dallas got injured. Licking their wounds a little bit from the 49ers game.
It's at home.
Give me the Chargers.
I want to take the Chargers as well. They're home dogs.
Yeah, give me the Chargers. If Eckler plays and Vander Esch is not playing, give me the Chargers. It'll be a shootout. That's going to be like a – I imagine that's going to be like a 28-35 game.
Do you think?
I think so.
Dallas defense I still think is better than the Chargers.
Than the Chargers offense?
Than the Chargers defense.
Well, yes, for sure. Without question.
If Dallas were to go and get embarrassed by San Francisco, then go and lose this game, it's almost like kind of season over sort of feeling. You kind of get that? So it's like, is this going to be backs against the wall for this Dallas group who has a lot of pride, a lot of experience on this team? Is Dak Prescott just go out and have 350 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks?
Well, I'll tell you what, based on their schedule, I think it has to be, because they still have to play the Eagles twice.
Mm.
Okay. And then they have to play Seattle. Then they have to play Detroit, and they have to play Buffalo, and they have to play the Dolphins.
Well,
better get this win.
I think Dallas is better, but
I do
with
too.
All the circumstances, I think I want to take the Chargers.
I agree. I agree. Mm. And that puts us at 2 games.
No, just 2.
That puts us at 2 games. And the only one that seems feasible, I think, to switch on would be like the Seahawks and the Bengals.
Nope.
The Commanders and Falcons. The Lions and Bucks. I mean, I could switch on Seattle and go Seahawks over the Bengals. Yeah, let's do it. Why not? You normally take the leap of switching first. So give me the Sea Chickens.
Sea Chickens?
They had a week off anyway, so they're coming off a bye.
Jason, I kind of want to take the Cardinals.
You know, I thought about doing that originally, but I couldn't get myself to do it.
Who did the Cardinals just got? I mean, they lost by 10.
I think, against the Bengals. So that's not like, but I think crazy.
It was 14. It was 34-20.
Oh, was it? Mm-hmm. And Josh Jobs had by far his worst game.
Mm-hmm. And I think James Conner's out too.
Give me the Commanders.
We're at three games right now. You don't have to switch.
I don't like just three games.
You don't like just three games. Well, then like you're doing this to yourself.
I like to spice it up a little bit.
Well, then you're doing this to yourself.
That's okay.
All right. Well, now we're at four. So now you've deadlocked us again. Now you have deadlocked us.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to.
Would it be?
All right. Can we
take the Vikings over the. Yeah, that's not much of a swing. That's not
But I don't want to. You know, like it might end up, oh my gosh, Dallas easily wins. But it's like in my head right now, I feel like the Chargers are going to win.
Right.
But I will. It's close. Like, give me Dallas.
Okay. I was going to say, if you're feeling bad about it, I'll switch. I'll go Cowboys.
Yeah, you always do that, though. Listeners that have listened to this for the past, how many seasons have we done? Four?
Something like that.
With picks, it's always, oh, Jason will get on his high horse. He'll be that knight in shining armor, and he'll pick the favorite of the matchup. And he's like, no, don't worry. I'll switch to the team that's favored. It's all good. And that happens all the time. And then I lose the week. Happens all the time.
You're 3-1.
What are we in seasons, though?
And you
won more.
And I will say that I did pick the Chargers originally, so I didn't pick the favorite.
No, but that usually is what happens. We both are like, oh, we like that other team.
Well, we yeah. Like, I mean, if I'm going to switch on a game, then why would I switch on Eagles-Jets? There's no like, yeah, give me the Browns over the 49ers.
Ooh.
Or like the Buccaneers over the Lions, which I guess wouldn't be that crazy, but.
So remind me who I have now.
You have the Texans, Vikings, Bengals, Commanders, and Cowboys.
Oh, man, it's going to come down to that Commanders game, huh?
I know. Or the Vikings, Bears. Oh, golly. Well, I mean.
So, but you've won more seasons.
I think so.
Because did I win last year?
I thought
I won last year.
Yeah, you
like,
did win last
like
year.
Far
yeah.
and away.
Yeah, you won it early. You won it very early, I think.
Well, it always goes like, I think the years that the Niners are like really poor, like when Jimmy G gets injured or yada yada, like you'll win. Because I'll just pick the Niners.
Right.
So now, like, the Raiders haven't been so good. Like, so good. They haven't played so well the last couple of years. Then I'm, like, it's almost like a free win. It's almost mm-hmm. like a free space.
It is. And then I want to close out this by saying, first Kings game, 2 weeks. 2 weeks, October 25th. Everybody get ready. Prepare.
Who do they play?
They play the Utah Jazz. On the road.
Oh, that's a dub.
Easy win.
Easy. Wait. I got Commanders, Vikings, Texans, Cowboys. Which ones?
You have Texans, Vikings, Bengals, Commanders, Cowboys. Give me the Kings by 500 points against Utah.
I think we already did this. But they're... Oh, they're playing... They're playing the Lakers in the preseason.
Yeah, and they play the Lakers the third game of the season, too. And they play the Warriors.
Do they really?
Screw the Warriors. I hate the Warriors. Oh, my God.
Hate them.
I mean, I hated them before, but after last year, I hate them. Like, I can't. I can't.
I don't.
You know what's making me so excited, though? Is that I've had Bree come up to me a few times and go, I'm so ready for basketball season.
That's awesome.
I know. And I'm like, yeah.
Are you guys going to go to a game? Because I'm going to be at every single one of them.
Oh, absolutely. Like, let's go. I'm ready.
44 and a half wins. I think they get that.
I think they do too.
I think they're over on that one.
I agree.
You think what seed? You think it's over under 4.5?
They're first, easily.
Okay, well.
Although I do see this right here from Yahoo Sports before we close this out. Mike Brown said he's not sure if our new guy, Veznikov, will be in the rotation right away. So,
oh, who gives a shit?
It'll be interesting to see once he gets into the rotation how long that's actually going to take. So, but looking forward to seeing him play. Looking forward to seeing everybody play. It's 2 weeks away. I cannot wait. Who knows? Maybe the Raiders will be on a win streak by that point, and the Kings will be playing. So, life should be good if that happens.
Life should be good. So, oh my gosh. The disrespect, right? Who do you think is favored to win the Pacific Division?
The Lakers.
Oh, I mean, you're close. The Suns are far and away the favorite.
They're I was going to say, it was either going to be the Suns or the Lakers. I mean, the Suns are the best team, I think, but I wouldn't have been surprised if, yeah, you know, the hype around the Lakers, they were going to give it to them.
The Suns lineup is nuts. They're plus 130. Lakers are plus 370. Golden State at plus 390. Then you have the Kings and Clippers tied at plus 650. That is disrespectful to the Sacramento Kings, who are your defending Pacific Division champions.
Our division is so good.
I mean, they're all going to make the playoffs.
I know.
there's no way.
That has to be the best division in the league, like from top to bottom, right?
Maybe.
It's got to be.
Boston, Philly, New York, Brooklyn, and Toronto's not very good. I was going to say, like, maybe everyone in the Atlantic would make the playoffs.
Central's not bad. Cavaliers, Pacers, Bucks, Bulls aren't bad, but the Pistons stink.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Pacific.
I agree.
There's no way. They're all making the playoffs.
Wow. But, you know, the nice thing is it's the fact that – because they've always been in that division, and most of those teams are usually good every year anyway. But it's nice to go, you know what? We belong here.
Well, Ben and I did an exercise when we last hung out. I was like, okay, do you think the Clippers are going to have a better record? No, I don't think so. I think the Clippers are going to miss – like, their stars are going to miss a lot of time. All right, do you think Golden State? I don't think Golden State cares about the regular season, really. And they showed, like, is Chris Paul going to work with them? Oh, do you think the Lakers? I mean, the Lakers, I know we just did this whole thing with the Niners, and I was bitching and moaning about injuries, but an aging LeBron, Anthony Davis, who hasn't played a full season ever, and we're talking about a full basketball season. Like, this isn't as compact as contact as football. I don't think they don't get a full season out of both of them. And yeah, Phoenix is Phoenix, but their depth is really put into question. I mean, Sacramento, I think, is the favorite to win that division. And you're just gonna walk away with that.
They're not favored, but
they're favored in Sam Toomey's world.
That's fair. And that might be the only one that matters.
Well, it's the only one that matters right here.
Hello, Stevie. Welcome in. She just came in to say hello to everybody. Here, come here. Oh! All righty. Well, I've had so much fun. There's so much good sports going on. We didn't even talk about the baseball playoffs,
yeah,
which have been really good. So, everybody, thank you so much, as always, for listening. We really do appreciate it. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Enjoy the football. Don't enjoy the Thursday night game because nobody gives a damn about those two dumpster franchises. And you could probably skip the Monday night game too. I mean, the Sunday night game as well. So just a little piece of advice for you heading into this this week six of the NFL season. Enjoy the week. Stay safe. We'll see you all very soon.
Hey, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call when a team doesn't have a game that week?
What?
Bye.
Bye.